But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the Lord, in the context of this, has moved the disciples away from the foolishness that they asked about in verse 6. You'll remember they said, Lord, is this the time that the kingdom is going to be restored again to Israel? They thought that earthly Israel was going to be restored, saved from the tyranny of Rome and that type of thing. And they asked about that. And the Lord has, he said, it's not for you to know that, or the times and the seasons, the things that belong to God. And he's directed their thoughts and their attention away to what is important. This is not about your earthly business. This is heavenly business that we're on now. This is not about your interests and desires. It's about God's kingdom. It's about the salvation of sinners. You're going to receive power, and you're going to be witnesses of me. That trumps everything else. It doesn't matter what happens to Israel or anybody else. God's world is his elect, his people. He has a universe because he has a bride. You shall receive power. And by the way, have you ever asked the Lord something or to do something, and it's just like he completely ignored you? That's verses 6 and 8 in our text. And you know what? When he did that, he was doing them a great favor. You think he doesn't do that for you now? You shall receive power. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? You're going to have to receive if anything's going to get accomplished. You remember when Pilate said to our Lord, he said, don't you know that I have power to crucify you, or I have power to release you? And the Lord said, you don't have any power at all, except what my Father gives you. And we rejoice in that scripture because it exalts our Lord's sovereignty, but don't miss the fact that that's also true of you. You don't have any power at all, except what he gives you. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Our Lord said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now you think about that. If we exalt ourselves, then the Lord's got to bring us down if his power is going to go forth. If anything's going to be accomplished here this morning or ever, we have to realize and glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. We got to understand what we are. Nothing. Neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth. He's not anything either, but the Lord that giveth the increase. That's how this gets done now. It's by us relying completely upon Christ Jesus for everything. And then he said this, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Remember what our Lord said about the Holy Ghost coming to them in John 16, verses 5 through 15. We won't take the time again to read that passage this morning, but jot that down if you'd like to read it later. The Lord said, talking about the Holy Ghost, If I go not, then the Comforter won't come. And when he comes, what did our Lord say he's going to do? He's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. He's going to remind you of everything I said to you. And that's what he does now. When the Holy Ghost comes upon somebody, it's not what happens when we receive the power from the Holy Spirit of God. That's what he said. You shall receive power. Are we going to have any power this morning? God said, when my word goes forth, it'll go forth in power now. It'll accomplish the thing whereto I sent it. Is there going to be any power here this morning? Is anything going to get accomplished? What's going to happen if we receive power from the Holy Spirit of God? Well, you're going to speak in tongues, Chris. No. That's not what our Lord said. They did. They did speak in tongues then. But that's not how the Lord describes what happened here in our text. Well, you're going to be able to perform miracles if we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be able to make lame people walk. Nope. They did. They could. But that's not how our Lord described what's going to happen when the power of God rests upon us. What did he say? You're going to be witnesses of me. That's what's going to happen. You're just going to happen to do it in different languages when you need to, which was then. Speaking in tongues. Everybody heard the gospel in their own language. They testified of Christ. That's what happened. That's what the Lord called it. You're going to be witnesses, eyewitnesses, corroborating witnesses, character witnesses. Could you be a character witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you tell people about him in such a way that they might just see how glorious he is? Just get a little glimpse of it. What the miracles did was confirm and support and promote the gospel of the Son of God. We don't need to turn to those scriptures again. You've heard me quote them many times. That's why he gave them the ability. Who's going to listen to a bunch of fishermen and an old man that has no education? Well, everybody, if they can make a lame man walk. And that's what our Lord did. So they could hear of Christ. You'll testify of me. Why do we harp on that every time we come together? Because that's what we do. We testify of Christ in this world. And that's the business that God's in. Everybody say, well, I just want to serve the Lord. Do you have any idea what he's doing? You might want to find that out before you start serving him. I tell you what he's doing. He's saving his people by the preaching of the gospel. He's glorifying his son in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ still always has and always will have power on earth to forgive sins. That's what he's in the business of doing. Do you have any sins that need forgiven this morning? This is how that happens. He said, you're going to go and preach what I've told you and those that listen to you and hear you and believe you. I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them. Psalm 138:2, listen to this. One of these days, we're going to realize what's going on right here, right now. One of these days, we're going to realize it. One of these days, I'm going to preach the gospel. And one of these days, you're going to hear it and you're going to know what God is doing here right now. Listen to David in Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. The holy temple of God is his son. Everything in that Old Testament temple and tabernacle pictured Christ, set forth Christ, exalted Christ. I'm going to worship. Is that what we're doing? And I'm going to praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. Is that what we're doing? Why are we doing it? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The word. That truth The truth that God has magnified his word above all his name must inform our entire lives. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's remember what a beautiful thing this is. You know, there's no doubt that this was killing the disciples. They walked with him. They left everything and followed him. And they heard the very word of God from his mouth. And they saw his miracles. They saw his provision for them. They're out in the desert in the middle of nowhere and don't have anything to eat. And he fed them with his power. Just by the word of his mouth, he fed the multitudes. They came to depend upon him for everything. That's a good place to be. And they thought that was changing. He's leaving. He's going away. But what a beautiful thing. Remember what our Lord said about that. He said, it's expedient unto you that I go. Think about this and take this glorious thought with you in your heart everywhere you go. Everything that our Savior has ever done or ever shall do is expedient unto you if you're his, if you believe on him, if you love him. He will never do anything that is not expedient unto you. That's the love of God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, for his sheep now. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Maybe you're asking, am I one of the Lord's sheep? Well, do you believe on him? Do you follow him? He said, my sheep follow me. That's how you can tell. They hear my voice and they follow me. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He said in Jeremiah 29:11, listen to this, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. You may not know them. You may forget, but I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's not a crapshoot. It's not up to you, thank God. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Predestinated by God, an expected end. I have thoughts of peace toward you and not of evil to give you. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to get there without him. I'm going to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I'm going to hear you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. While they looked. While their hearts were breaking, while they were afraid, they knew their enemies were out to kill him and them. Now he's gone. What's going to happen to us? While they didn't understand, While they were hurting, the Lord immediately sends two men, angels in the form of men, holy angels, two men in white apparel. They were able to see these angels then. We can't see them now, but we know they're there, don't we? The Lord said, I'll give my angels charge over you. That was true of the Savior, and that's true of his people. He has assigned angels unto us. Our angels behold the face, he said, of the Heavenly Father always. We can't see them like they did, but by faith we do. So the Lord, think about this. The Lord said he would send the Holy Ghost to comfort us. He called him the Comforter when he said, I'm going to send him to you. I'm going to send you the Comforter. And how's he going to comfort us? He's going to take the things of Christ and reveal them. This is how he does that. That's what's happening here. He may reveal him to you for the first time this very morning. Or you may see him for the 20,000th time. And if you do, it'll be sweeter than it was the first time to see him revealed in his word by his gracious Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to comfort and reveal, and he's assigned angels unto us. And look what they did. They did exactly the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did, just a couple of verses before. They gently rebuke them as he did, and they get them looking in the right direction. What did they take their eyes off of? Oh, he's gone. He's leaving. Our hearts are broken. What are we going to do now? Remember when they were on the road to Emmaus? And the Lord said, why are you so sad? What are you talking about that's making you so sad? Well, Jesus of Nazareth, he was crucified. He died. That's the very thing we ought to be rejoicing about. And look what they did. Oh, my goodness. This gentle rebuke, verse 11, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? They're not asking that to get information, are they? They knew why they were gazing up into heaven, because the Lord Jesus Christ just ascended. That's what I would have been doing too. But they're saying this, listen, this same Jesus. There's only one Savior in there. There's only one God in human flesh, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Look at the question they ask. Why? Why stand ye gazing? Why? Why are you doing that? Here is the reason right here that our actions are questioned by angels. Their actions were questioned by angels. Here's the reason our inaction is corrected. Why are you just standing there? Did he not tell you what to do? Here's the reason that our sorrow and our sense of loss is rebuked, though tenderly. We spend too much time looking with these eyes. And we look at what we think is bad. We look at what we think is loss and sorrow and tragedy and heartache, and as real as that is, as real as that is, Look what these angels did. They just simply reminded the disciples of what he said. Why are you so sad? Don't you remember he told you? He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come get you. Remember what he said when your heart's breaking. Don't stand there brokenhearted. Remember that this same Jesus that said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There are many places for sinners in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to see to it that one of them is yours. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. What are you coming back for, Lord? To throw all your enemies in hell? He's going to do that. No, that's not what he said, though. I'm going to come back and get you. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did he not pray that in John 17 in his great high priestly prayer before he went to Calvary? He said, Father, I will that those that you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. He's going to come and do that. Now, in the meantime, the Lord had given them a commission. Why stand you there? As his ambassadors, they were to go, wait for his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and then be witnesses of him. But like them, we look with the eyes of the flesh and we see it all wrong. Instead of looking at earthly circumstances and what our eyes can see, we are now, even now, to look to him by faith in his word. Remember what he said and rejoice that he's going to the Father. Rejoice concerning who he is and where he is right now. Unless redemption had been accomplished, there'd be no going to the Father. Turn with me to John 14, 25. This is what we referred to a minute ago. I just have another thing or two to say here. John 14, 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That's talking about our text. He said, wait for the Father, wait for the promise of the Father, that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you in power. He shall teach you all things, middle of verse 26, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Those angels were in on that. Remember what he said. You don't need to be looking at him go and be sad about that. Think about his promise. I'm coming back for you. If I go, he appeared in the presence of God the Father for us with his precious blood, like the high priest in the Old Testament appeared before the Shekinah glory of God with blood, not without blood. Also, our high priest must have somewhat to offer. And he went there with his own precious blood. and obtained eternal redemption for us. If I go, then I will come again and receive you unto myself. And he's going to remind you of that. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Aren't you glad for that part? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what was happening in our text. They were troubled. They were afraid. He said, don't be. Don't be. And he sent those angels to remind them. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. You wouldn't be sad. You'd be rejoicing about that. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. We look at a trial, don't we? We look at a trial. And we've been through some things now. We're going through some things. We look like they did at the trial, at the trouble, at the... Don't be troubled, he said. Don't be afraid. That takes our hearts away from the glorious truth that what David said, it is good for me that I should be afflicted. That I might learn by actual faith experience thy statutes. Psalm 119:71. We look at a chastisement from the Lord. And we cry and complain and we miss the glorious realization that it is thus that the Son of God deals with his children. What son is he that the Lord chasteneth not? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Let not your heart be troubled. Only believe. We look at the waves and the winds and take our eyes off the Lord, the same Lord Jesus who gave himself for us on Calvary is the one that rules the winds and the seas right now. This same Jesus who redeemed you on Calvary shall so come in like manner and claim his purchased possession, he said, unto the praise of his glory, Ephesians 1:14. This same Jesus that asks you, why? What is it that you're talking about today and why are you so sad? This same Jesus shall come and he shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. This same Jesus whose presence now, even now, is your joy and delight, and safety and comfort, shall so come in like manner and shall meet us in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why are you sad? Let's pray.